Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already the last day of May. It's over. Tomorrow will be the first day of June, another first. I like things ending and beginning new. It's, you know, when you get used to not being conscious of changing so much and change just becomes a normal part of your life, you start to just know, oh, wow, this is ending and this is beginning. Even though if you didn't know what time it was, it doesn't matter. It's like the weirdest thing. But I just, for some reason, love that. I love, like, at the end of the month, assessing what we're doing and then saying, okay, in the next month we'll do this. And it's just these great things. And we already have a date for Chicago's summit, which will be September 8th. All we have is the date, and we're looking for the venue now. And I have, you know, no, I'm going to sound really cool. I have my people working on it in Chicago. My people is my sister, so it's really kind of cool. And I went to school there, and I lived there, and I was born there, so it'll be an interesting place to start traveling to and doing the summit. So it's kind of cool, too far from other places. So it's kind of a central area, but I'm very excited about it. And I'm just so happy we have a date already. So today I have Dream Theme Thursday. I have two anonymous dreams. I love when they start where, you know, could you please keep this anonymous? Because I'm like, oh, it's probably like really kind of edgy or whatever. So we're going to get started. And here we go. My first dream, it says, good morning, Nadia. Could I please remain anonymous? I've had a reoccurring dream. It's sweet and short, but I keep having it. At times I'm at a wedding, I'm not married, or a dinner party, and I walk from table to table. As I touch people, I literally get, hold on, that they are sad, from sad to happy. I don't know why I continue to have this dream, then you so much. Oh, Nadia, and I don't know any, or I don't know the people, and I don't ever stop to chat. Love to you, and thank you so much. Okay, so the dream, first of all, starts with a marriage. So that's a new beginning by choice, right? Most of our new beginnings aren't that are life-changing that big, are told to us. We grow, we graduate, we get a job, we move out of our homes, we do all these things. And when we get married, that's a choice. We make a choice to get married. So if you're having dreams about getting married, you're making the choice to take your life another step further. You've made a decision. Even though in your dream, it's not even about the partner. Not that there's somebody there. Getting married is you're saying, I am making a commitment to who I am. And who you are is somebody who wants to focus, who is focused, who is that person that just wants to spread love. In whatever way you decide to do it. In your dream, it was just reaching out to people, touching people, feeling people, and not needing to say anything. It's a very interesting way of thinking when in our minds we feel like we've grown that much that we can grow up now, we can get married, we can reach out to people, we can help people. We can love people. But the biggest part of the dream is that you don't feel like you have to have an explanation. You're solid in yourself enough to not have to talk to them about it. You're solid enough in yourself to not have to explain yourself for who you are or why you are the person that you are. This is a huge confidence dream on so many levels. The commitment, changing people, and not having to explain yourself. All that from this little, what you call small, reoccurring dream. But they're amazing because it's just letting you know, hey, you grew up. Hey, you grew up. Hey, you know what you're doing. You feel secure in your own skin. You're solid. You can make change. When you know what you're doing, you don't need to explain to everybody else what you're doing. Bridge to cross. And you are doing it or have done it actually already. And this is just like the exclamation point is that continuous dream. So it's kind of cool. It's really cool. But thank you for that dream. That's the whole dream right there. It's a huge confidence dream. And you don't get there in 1 minute. But, you know, a lot of trying, a lot of talking, a lot of questions, and a lot of dreams to get there. My next dream also. Hi, Nadia. Please keep this dream anonymous. I was going to a remote place to meet my friend and longtime buddy. We had this very cute cabin, and I drove there myself. It was difficult to get to, but we made it. The rooms were weird because the interior constantly changed in the dream. Hold on, I'm moving it. Oh, there we go. In the dream, that was not irritating. I met a man who I was interested in, but he was in a relationship, so I didn't bother paying much attention. But then I watched the couple break up, nicely, and no harsh emotional drama. They had both seen it coming. Then he got bit by a snake, but he was okay. I didn't know what to do, but my friend did. He made it through, then I found out he was interested in me, too. Then I was going to go to bed to rest, but realized that there were snakes in my bed. One little rattlesnake that left me alone, one non-venomous one that was just enjoying my body warmth, and a cobra. The cobra bit me. I managed to put a basket on her and left the room crying for help. Then I was okay, did not faint or anything, but my friends kept me in their watch. Then they gave me really funny medicine while we were waiting for anti-venom to arrive. I was not supposed to move. Then I fell to the ground and felt the venom kick in. I asked to call my parents so they would know. Then I fainted. Then I woke up from my dream. I didn't die, but I am not sure. Well, you woke up, so you didn't get to know if you died or not, but you did fall in your dream while you were waiting for help. But the more important thing is all the stuff around your dream, meeting people, it being hard to get there, the guy being bit, you know, him breaking up, being interested in you, that going on. And then you have this whole other thing with a bed of snakes that you decide to get into. I want you to think about that. There were a bunch of snakes in the bed, and you decided to get in. Now, snakes aren't snakes. Like, they're not like, you know, you're a snake when we say that to people, and that means they're not great. But a snake has the rebirth. Skin comes off in the shape of them, and then they keep starting anew, anew, anew. And first, the partner of the girl, the boy, part of that relationship, gets bit. Okay. Breaks up with his girlfriend. He's starting new. So he's ready to start a new life. He's interested in you. You decide to go to bed and you see snakes that can hurt you and that can bite you, but you still make a decision to go in and you get bit. So probably as expected, you knew what you were getting into. That's something to be very aware of, is that, you know, when you see trouble, assess a situation before you decide to jump in. Think about that. Assess a situation before you decide to jump in. If there are three snakes in your bed, and one of them's a cobra, and one of them's a rattlesnake, and one of them won't hurt you, you have a 2 out of 3 chance, the odds are against you, that you could get hurt. And with the rattler, pretty quickly. And with the cobra, you need the antivenom. So now you have all these different issues to add to your world, all this drama to add to your world. So the dream is telling you, hey, pay attention to what you're deciding to walk into in life. Just take a look. See, are the odds with me? Are the odds against me? But there's another part of this dream that is very revealing, believe it or not, and it's that you wanted them to call your parents. You didn't think of the people that were there, everything that was there. You wanted them to call your parents. You're ready to accept them for who they are. You're ready to appreciate who they are. It's as though you have been and you finally came to terms of, hey, you know what? They are valuable to me. Not that I know more than them or less than them or, you know, I'm doing this and they would never do that or whatever it is. But come your cohort, your partner in your mind, you belong to them. And they belong to you, which has been true all along. All of us belong to our parents and our parents belong to us. We're like stuck together for life. But in this dream, it's confirming that, hey, you know what? When something happens to me, I want to include them. I want their love. I need their love. I enjoy their love. The decisions you make, whether the odds are against you or for you, is why you had those snakes in your bed. So whatever it is you are deciding to do, whatever it is you are embarking on in your life, take a look at the odds. How much do I really want to do this? Am I willing to go forward in my life in this way? Is this the direction I want to take? Because a lot of times when we have a lot of choices and we can't pinpoint ourselves, we're willing to dabble into this, into that, into this, into that, because we're hoping that the dabbling kind of educates us in a way and gives us a reason to go one direction or another. So pay attention to what you dabble in. See how much you like it. See what it's worth to you to get into. Look at the possible obstacles, outcomes, all of that. Just take a look at it and say, well, you know, worst case scenario, if this happens, this is how I'll handle it. Well, if this happens, this is how I'll handle that. And you start to foresee, plan, and you walk the plan. And during that period of time, it's like the testing period or the research period, you know, you can ask yourself questions. Is this important or isn't this? Because 2 out of 3 snakes were not good friends and buddies to be with, but they do represent rebirth. So you are growing. Just pay attention to where you are growing to, and if that's where you really resonate, where you really want to be. But the best part is the love for your parents. We get to know as we grow how valuable a resource to our history, to our lives, to who we are, our parents are. Whether we think they're the greatest things, or we think they've made mistakes, or we think they're lightweights, we have no idea because we were only a part of their lives. That's the one thing I learned when my mom passed. I didn't come with her and I didn't leave with her. I was only a part of her life. And I started to feel like it was such an honor that I got to share part of her life with her instead of her being my mom. Because when I saw her leave, she was, and I was with her, and God bless her, when I saw her leave, I couldn't believe, like, well, how, you know, and I'm a full-grown adult, and I was like, oh, my God, how could she leave? She left. She's gone. She's not here anymore. She was done. Her work was to have these realizations, which I did when she was alive. I was very close to her. But when you get that realization how important your parents are, that's a good one. Because they are your resource. They are the people who were with you before you even knew who you were. They may not be the smartest people in the world. They're just two people who had a kid. And that kid happened to be you. And, okay, are you smarter than your parents? Maybe you're smart in a different way. But now you have that objectivity to go with it.
You know, and we'll go from there. I have another dream, not anonymous, actually on my page on Facebook. And it's from Maria Dolph. And she says, "Dear Nadia, I had a dream last night. During the dream, there was someone with me all the time, but was only an observer. I was looking after two babies. They were my babies. One was a few months old and the other one was a few days old." Oh, that's weird. Because a few months old and a few days old and they're both your babies. Think about that. You need 9 months to have them. So maybe one was about, well, even more than 9 months because you still have to get pregnant. Geez. So now I'm doing the numbers, right? But I get it. It's a dream. And then a tall man came into the room, went to the kitchen to do something, and after touching a piece of raw meat and without washing his hands, went to see my babies. I knew he wanted to harm them in front of him. I wasn't going to let him through. We had a calm but intense verbal confrontation. After a few minutes, he understood he wasn't going to have a chance and left. I went back to my babies to breastfeed them. They were hungry. End of dream. Thank you for your time. Lots of love, Maria. All right. So this, I want to say movie dream, because it's like, you know, those movies where you stand up and you confront the aggressor and they whimper away and leave. But this dream has to do about facing fear, period. That when important enough to us, that we just know what to stand up for. We know without thinking about it. And a lot of times in other areas of our lives, like we're at work or we're amongst friends, not our children, we may say, oh, I can't say anything. I can't fight for that. I'm going to cause trouble. People are going to be upset. Whatever, whatever. But when it's someone that's under our watch, something that's under our responsibility, we're going to stand up for it. And you know what happens? We find out that when we do stand up for what we want to stand up for, other people will respond. And they will leave. They don't want somebody to that level.
If you just say no to fear, fear no longer has a home. Fear is the most elusive coward we will ever know in our lifetime. And it is a coward because it's really big when we think it is, and it's really small when you think it is. Just the way the nature of fear. And your dream is telling you that you are now becoming fearless. That fear is no longer the underlying emotion that runs your life. And it had to be, you know, someone who was going to hurt your family, because that's one way of showing you what you're made of. I was writing the other day. I'm going through like huge writing spurts, like I did in the beginning with the books, and they're really interesting. But one of the things that Christ said was, he told me that my first husband had to be such an extreme difference of me as a human being for me to fight, because it was such an obvious thing, even though it wasn't obvious to me in the beginning. I just never knew people were that different. Doesn't mean he was a bad different. He was just different than me. And when I came to the realization of how different he was, I fought for my children, not in court, not with him, but I fought for their emotionality. I fought their lives as normal as I could, kept them in the same house, kept them at the same school. And it wasn't easy because we were living in a really good area, and I was the only single mom until like later years in high school. I found another one in the whole town that lived in that area. Somehow I did it, and thank God I did, because I fought for their stability. I didn't want their whole life to fall apart because we got divorced. And it was set up that way, that, you know, took everything away, didn't want to be fair, you know, wanted me to financially so that their presence could be felt, that it was gone, and all this business. But I fought. I fought fear. I didn't fight him. I didn't fight the system. I didn't complain about life. I just fought fear. And I knew I was. Because I had to face those fears, like, oh my God, I'm alone and now I got to do this. I just did it. And so fear used to try to enter the picture on and off, where I'd wake up some days and go, oh my God, how? But I found out that I still woke up the next day and I'd find out how. So when you're protecting your babies from fear, the fear will lose every time. And it does lose every time, as long as you face it. And that dream is actually like probably one of the best lessons of any one of our lifetimes. Because fear is that thing that, I don't care how good or bad things are going, it just decides to show up out of nowhere, and there you are sitting somewhere, and you're going, why the heck did I just have that thought? Holy cow! I have learned over time in life to talk back to that thought, like, hey, wait a minute, why am I having that thought? Where did that come from? That's not mine. Get out of here! And I just talked to it like that, like I would to a bully that just showed up at my door. It is an amazing It is an amazing energy, fear. If you really study fear, if you really see fear, if you really know what fear can do to anybody, you will never fear it again. You will never fear fear. It is the most obedient energy to love you will ever find on the face of this earth. And because we don't know that, because we don't think that every day, because we're not taught it, we're just taught no fear. What does no fear mean? How do you get to no fear? And my job is the how-to. They have a lot of motivational speakers, and you go and you leave all pumped up, and every once in a while it catches someone and they get it. But usually you go home, and the minute you walk in your front door, you're back to who you are because it's easier. You don't have a template yet on how to grow through the things you were just told to grow through. But how do you do that? How do you face fear? Just facing it. Talk to it. Tell it, hey, buddy, thanks for stopping by. I don't know if I need you right now. You're kind of getting in my way, so get out of my way. Talk to it. I used to need you. I didn't need you anymore. So there was, in the chat, I had somebody, I guess they're gone now, about check out John Paul Jackson on YouTube, Biblical Dream Interpretation. The number three important. There was a study released this week about snakes and dreams. The person is seeking support, codependency. The person is in a fear mindset. So here we go with fear again, theme of the day. The subconscious is overloaded with too much information. You are correct. Yes, a process. Was this your dream? It wasn't my dream, but it was an anonymous dream, and that was the cautionary tale of take a look, assess, pay attention. The odds could be against you. And it's good feedback, good validation, but really think about fear today. Think about in your own life, like, what decisions did you make based on fear? And every decision you made based on fear had to go back and be made again. Think about that. Fear forces the issue of you going back to that fork in the road and saying, okay, let me repave it with love this time because the fear only got me so far. I should have gone to the job I wanted. I should have said what I meant. I should have said no, or I should have said yes. And as we grow older, we get the benefit of fear not controlling our decisions to another place. It takes us to the place that says, hey, I don't need to go back to the fork. And now your growth starts to accelerate, not backtracking. I got 10 seconds. I'll see you on Questions Friday. I love you guys so very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.